That is.
Okay. Let's go look at it.
It's all right for you. You've been sleeping like a baby. So have Doc, Christy, and Mildred. I mean, that's okay, no foul, but me and Jack could use a rest.
Yeah, sure, sure. Let's see if anyone feels like more food. Then we can all have a sleep, freshen up. And then we'll go check out this Earthfall. How's that sound?
Good.
Roused from their slumber, Mildred and Christy both selected another mix of soups. Jack had found a pile of cans, still labeled, of all different sorts of fruit, and had mixed up a compote for himself.
That'll sour your belly, kid.
It won't. And don't
call me kid.
Doc had found some tinned eggs, and attempted the culinary miracle of turning them into a light, fluffy omelet. Sadly, he failed.
I fear that my old skills have deserted me. Perhaps some corned beef and chili beans might hit the spot.
JB had carefully gone along the shelves, picking and rejecting until he'd found something that satisfied him.
Gumbo and minced chicken. Sounds good to me.
Ryan felt bad about sleeping for so long while Jack and the Armorer had been out on an extended recon, so he just grabbed the first couple of cans he came across. The can didn't have a label, and a ring of flaking orange rust was caked around its top. One side was dented as if it had suffered a heavy blow when it was being stacked. The contents attracted Mildred's attention. It was some unidentifiable fish, gray chunks of crumbling flesh, swimming in an oily iridescent sauce.
I don't like the look of that, Ryan.
Lighten up, Mildred. It looks okay to me.
The second can was a thick gumbo with slices of potato and what looked like turnip. Ryan poured the contents of both tins into a pan and stirred it over a low heat. The smell that came off the mixture wasn't terrific, but there was no way he was going to back down in front of everyone. He was the last to start eating, though.
Phew! Fucking horrible stink.
I rather think something must have passed away in one of those cans. And some time ago, too.
Up yours, Doc.
Doesn't look good, lover. And it smells rotten.
Fire blast. Just everyone shut their flapping mouths and let me get on with my food. I've eaten plenty worse. I'll be fine.
It didn't taste all that good. The lumps of fish were slick and rancid to his palate, and the heavy oil seemed to have separated into its unpleasant constituent parts. The bits of vegetable were either dissolving into mush or hard as rocks. In his hurry to stop the criticism, Ryan was aware that he hadn't really heated the gooey mess as thoroughly as he should have, but he was determined not to show anyone any sign of weakness. The lukewarm sludge settled in his stomach like a pool of iced lead. Mildred came and stood by the table, looking down at him when he was halfway through the pan. Ryan had been thinking about leaving the rest, but he forced himself to ladle it out and tuck into it.
Nothing more foolish than a stubborn man doing something he knows is wrong just because he's trying to prove it's right.
There was some tangy powdered lemonade in one of the larger tins, and Ryan helped himself to a mug of it, mixed with the dusty water. It seemed to help, and he drained a second portion. The drink felt as if it were settling the unease that was simmering around the level of his belt buckle.
How about some sleep now? Snatch a few hours.
Sure. No need to set guards. If we can't get out of the redoubt, there's no worry about anyone else getting in.
Ryan and Christy pushed two of the bunks together and laid an extra pair of mattresses over the top to give themselves something approaching a double bed. The blankets were so dried and frail that any sudden movement risked tearing them into long, narrow strips. There was no way of even dimming the stark overhead lights, so Ryan and Christy pulled the bedclothes up over their heads.
What do you figure, Ryan?
About what?
Will we get out?
I always have before.
She laid an arm across his chest. Both of them were still fully dressed. He was feeling cold, though he could also feel sweat beading his forehead.
But that door to the gateway... If it's really booby-trapped like JB says it is...
If he says it's got an auto-destruct link to it, then it has. Never known JB to be wrong about something like that.
Will we blow it?
Ryan took her hand in both of his and gripped it tightly.
Could pass it. But if anything gets triggered, then we have to get out fast.
Jack and JB found a possible way out of the redoubt, right?
Could be. High up. But it's an even longer shot. Try and move a big Earthfall and you can get the world on your skull. Of course, it would save digging a grave.
So we try the door first?
Yeah.
Are you all right, lover?
Why?
You feel hot, and you're trembling.
I'm all right. Guts are a bit... No, I'm all right.
You sure?
Yeah. Like me to prove it?
Christy let her free hand go crabbing down past the belt to the front of his breeches.
You don't feel like you're quite up to proving anything yet.
Hey, give me time. Can you get your pants down?
For you, lover? Anything.
Christy wriggled out of her trousers, leaving them hooked around her ankles. To get them completely off would have been too much hassle. Ryan slowly unzipped himself and pushed his dark gray pants down to his knees. He touched Christy, fingers clumsy against the tight material of her bikini panties, sliding inside. Her own fingers were cradling him, caressing him gently, encouraging him to his own swelling readiness.
Ryan, you sure you're in the mood?
Shit.
Never mind, lover. Right in the morning.
Sorry.
Don't be a double stoop, Ryan.
She pressed herself against him, so they lay like two spoons in a drawer, her buttocks fitting snugly into his groin. Within a handful of minutes, they were both fast asleep.
Ugh.
Ryan woke, conscious that it was the middle of the night. The overhead lights were blindingly bright and seemed to sway from side to side as he peered up at them. Christy was still deep in sleep. Her bright red sentient hair was curled across the makeshift pillows, relaxed as it shared her rest. One arm lay across Ryan's shoulder, and he reached up and moved it carefully out of the way. He was aware that all was far from well. His stomach was churning, and sweat soaked through his shirt. Ryan was shivering as though he had an ague, and his head was spinning. He sat up and looked across the room, seeing that the others all slept soundly. The sudden shot of pain made him clutch himself, squeezing his hands to his ribs. His vision seemed blurred, and his mouth was dry. The muscles of his face felt stiff, as though he'd been sprayed with some sort of numbing gas. When he tried to swallow, his throat hurt. He stood shakily, steadying himself with a hand on the side of the bed.
Lover, are you all right?
I feel a bit sick. I'm just gonna...
He darted to the ablutions at a stumbling run, making it just in time. He retched a stream of bitter green bile into the toilet. The taste was so foul that it made him vomit still more. For a moment, he felt a little better. With an effort, he managed to clean himself up, then stood. The bathroom was going slowly around in dipping loops. Ryan grabbed at the wash basin and tried to focus his vision on himself in the polished steel mirror. The face that stared blankly back at him was hardly recognizable. The cheeks were sallow and hollowed, the stubble showing black against the waxen skin. He leaned forward and peered at himself more carefully, noticing that the pupil of his eye was badly dilated, as if he'd been doing jolt for 48 hours straight. Threads of yellow spittle clung to the corners of his lips, and his mouth tasted foul. He touched his face, aware that the muscles were stiff and resistant to the feel.
What the fuck's wrong?
Ryan?
He tried to speak, but he realized that he was losing his hold on consciousness.
Ryan, you in there, lover?
Christy, I'm sick.
The floor came swooping up to meet him as he fell. And then everything in Ryan's world became extremely quiet. Something was tied loosely across his forehead, masking his eye, and someone had poured liquid glue into the muscles and tissue of his face and throat. He could hardly swallow properly, and movement was beyond him. All Ryan could do was lie still and listen.
It's bad. Food poisoning. But I don't figure it's salmonella or something common. If it was, it could be treated easily with kaolin and morphine.
So what is it?
I'm not sure, Christy.
Not sure? But you got a good idea, don't you, Dr. Wyeth?
Yeah. Dilation and stiffness of cranial musculature. Eyelid closed slowly. It points one way.
Which way is that?
Botulism. That's the bacterium called Clostridium botulinum. Rare. Normally found in home-prepared food. But I guess things in this place have been kind of unusual for medical science.
Is it bad?
The stiffness of the face spreads to the throat, then to paralysis of the heart and all the breathing muscles.
And?
Some die.
Some?
If I was in a modern hospital and I was the duty intern and Ryan came in like this, I'd maybe lay good odds on saving him. Real good odds. But that's with all the latest drugs, equipment, ventilators, and machinery.